Well, good morning. And for those of you who do not know me, my name is Alan Woods, and I am a member of Mountain View. I preach out. Some people laugh. I spend a lot of time at Anago. We preach out there. This is the ministry that the body has decided to go forth with and share in, so we preach out there. But I am a member of Mountain View, and that's why I was so glad when I look at the bulletin and it just says speaking Alan Woods and it didn't say guest speaker, because I'm a firm believer that you cannot be a guest in your own home. Amen. So, but then again, any home that we go to that worship God is our home. So I guess I can never be a guest speaker again. Before I start, I just want to say God has really been working in my life. For those of you who don't know, I have been working at Yakima for the last 3 months. I worked there 4/10, and then I come back home. And it's been a great experience for me. Even though I've been separated from my family, I feel as if I'm not taking time away from them. I have time to just sit and reflect on what God wants me to do. I have time to reflect in His Word. I have time to grow in Christ. So this has been a real blessing to me. But it's also been a lot of pain. Last week I preached at Anago, and I said, you know, I'm just going to use this sermon that I just preached to preach next week. So I get to Yakima, and I read my Bible on Monday. I didn't even look at the sermon. On Tuesday, I picked up the sermon, and it was like reading Russian. And I was like, I just preached this? So then I realized what God was doing. God was saying, you know, you're not getting off that easy. You're not preaching that pastor. You're not preaching that sermon again. Because I'm telling you, I just preached it, and I was like, man, I'm going to take this sermon to Mountain View. I'm going to preach it, and the people are going to love me, you know? But you know what? God had other plans. He had other plans, because He started working in ways and putting things in my mind and in my heart that I was like, where is it coming from? And then I started reading scriptures, and I just kept going to the same type of scriptures. And then I finally came to Jude 17 through 25. Not Jude 17, 25, but Jude 17, because there's only one, you know, book in Jude. So Jude 17, 25. So that's where I'm going to be preaching from today. And this is what God put on my heart. He put on my heart that as things in the United States progress, more and more negative things are coming out. He put on my heart that our Christian faith, as revealed to us through Scripture, it's being challenged. It's being belittled. It's being denied. And this is not just by people who don't believe in what we believe in. This is by people who say that they believe in what we believe in. As I prepared this sermon, I started seeing newspaper articles or listening to articles in Christian radio, and then the ink on the paper. God was telling me, this is what I want you to preach. And then I realized that there are many, many theologies in the Christian religion. There are many theologies, but one thing that they have in common is the saving grace of Jesus Christ. So let's not be divided over, can a woman wear pants to church? Should a man wear a suit and tie? something that has no impact on whether or not, you know, you're a Christian or your salvation is secure. But what I wanted to look at is these other type of theologies, like liberation theology. And I know some people probably don't even know what that means, because as far as I'm concerned, I thought we were all liberated in Christ. Well, in fact, we are. But when I read this, I was like, whoa. And this is what this theology teaches. It construes that the teaching of Jesus Christ in terms of liberation, from unjust, economical, political, and social conditions. And I'm like, whoa. So Jesus is saying that he wants to free me from anything that I have. He wants to make sure that we're all on the same political scope. And he wants to make sure that our social conditions, that what I have, I give to you so that we have equal is the same. And I'm like, man, that is a powerful message. So what I did was I picked up my Bible. And then I looked through it. I couldn't find it. I went to the computer, typed it in. I said, you know what? I can't find that anywhere. You know, I started to look in Scripture where it talks about freedom. That wasn't the kind of freedom they were talking about. And then another one came up on me, just hit me. It's called Black Liberation Theology, which believes that African Americans must be liberated from multi forms of bondage, being social, political, economical, and religious. And I'm saying, you know what? I'm a Christian. I'm already free. Yeah. There's no bonds holding me. This one definitely cannot be for me. I mean, I fit the African American part, but the rest is not for me. I'm already free. So they cannot free me from anything. And then this belief goes on to say that the oppression of the American society is deemed necessary to pay reparation to the African Americans for what happened to them. And listen, the only thing you guys have ever done to me is love me. So you don't owe me nothing, I owe you. I just want you to know that. But as I go through these things and I'm just like, I'm dumbfounded. That means confused. That people believe this stuff. And then you have Oprah. Okay, now, okay. Then you have Oprah, right? She comes on the scene with this thing that there are many ways to God. There are many ways to God. I want to leave that one alone. Yet, the saddest is this. Our very own president of the United States, and this is not a political, something political that I had in my heart to say, but this is real disturbing to me. But our own president that I pray for of the United States claiming something called collective salvation. Collective salvation. Have anyone ever heard of collective salvation? Let me tell you what collective salvation is. What he thinks it is. Then I'll tell you what collective salvation is. Collective salvation means that not until our nation comes together on one accord are we saved. That's what our president believed. Not until our nations come together. Our nation come together on one accord. You have what I have. I have what you have. We're both driving Pintos. And then and only then will we be saved. Now, this may seem like nonsense to you. Actually, it's nonsense to me, too. But this is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. Now, here's the scary part. And this is why I think God is really putting this on my heart. Here's the scary part. I have an 18-year-old daughter who's leaving home this year. She graduated from high school, and she's getting ready to go to college. This is the nonsense that they're teaching to them. These are the things that they're teaching to them. Now, I say it's scary, but in a sense it's not. Not for me, because my wife, myself, and all of you, I believe, has done an outstanding job of raising my daughter in the Word of God. We did as a family. And I talked to my daughter. I know where her heart is. I know what she believes. I know what she thinks. But there are a lot of other kids out there who are going to be struggling with this. I'm going to tell you, this is a saying that I stand by and I'll always stand by. There is nothing new under the sun. If it's new, it isn't true. And if it's true, it isn't new. Just remember that. If it's not in here, you might be able to find it in Hollywood because it's made up. We have to stand firm in the truth. We have to. I mean, there is no two ways about it. We have to stand firm in the truth. So, in preparing this message, one verse just stood out. And I know some people say, well, he's just saying it because it's an easy verse to remember. But John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish but have everlasting life. Who? That's whoever receives his Son will have everlasting life. It doesn't matter what your social status is. It doesn't matter if you're a have or a have not or a have in between. If you do not accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have nothing. You are a have not. So don't be fooled by any of these things that are being pushed today, any of these things that are being deemed as gospel. As I deliver this message to you today, however, I want you to see what our response as a Christian should be to these types of theologies and to these people who are pushing this message or who denies the fact that Christ died 2,000 years ago for everyone. Despite your skin color, despite your social status, your financial status, and to be honest with you, there are some groups right now who would say that I'm an Uncle Tom for preaching this message. I'm a sellout to my own race for preaching this message. But then I tell you that if following Jesus 100% makes me an Uncle Tom, I'm an aunt and a cousin Tom too. Because I am sold out to Christ. Amen. And the rest of this nonsense is just that. It's nonsense. But it is of Satan. It is the evil desires of man. Every one of these political, social, it has to do with what's going on here on earth. It's something that man has thought up in his own mind, either to control something, to be in charge of something, and to put God behind everything else. This is of Satan. But it's our responsibility to notice this and to follow God's word. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord and Savior, Lord, we thank you for your spirit, Lord. And I pray now, Lord, that as I bring this message, you just empty me of myself and fill me with your spirit. Lord, I thank you for your Son and for what he's done for us, Lord, and for the fact that there is only one way, and that one way has been paid by the blood of Jesus Christ. So Lord, I just ask now that as I deliver this message, you just use this message to touch the hearts of many. And I ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. And again, I said, I'm going to be bringing you the message out of Jude 17 through 21. I'm going to read the whole thing, and then I'm going to go through by scripture, because I believe that if we really want to know what the Lord says and who the Lord is, we have to get in his word and read it verse by verse. But, dear friends, remember what the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, build yourself up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourself in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire. Save them. To others, show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupt flesh. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ, our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. I call this sermon, Be Not Misled, but Follow Jesus. That is what Christians are to do. We're not to be misled, but we're to follow Jesus. And in doing so, we're to hold on to the truth. Again, there are certain things we hold freely in one hand, and that's the things, our possessions, things that we think to be dear. And we hold them in one hand saying, God, if you want us to have it, we'll have it. If you don't want us to have it, take it. But on the other hand, we hold our faith in what we believe. This is what we keep closed, and we don't compromise, and we don't waver. We hold fast to the truth of God. Jude 17 through 19, it says, But dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last days, there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. Remember who Jesus used to deliver his word. Jesus had many disciples, but he only had 12 apostles. These 12 apostles, they lived with Jesus. They learned from Jesus. They loved Jesus. The scripture says, remember what they said. You got to remember, during this time, they didn't have the New Testament with them. But what they did have, they had the fact that they knew what was right and what was wrong because Jesus, righteousness, walked among them. Jesus was with them. So when these men, mere men, walked with Jesus and they learned what it was that Jesus wanted them to do, they learned to watch Jesus pray. They learned to watch Jesus do the will of the Father. They learned what it was to be like Jesus. And these very same truths that Jesus taught his apostles is what we believe in the Bible today. Anything outside of this, we should discard as fairy tale, just a story. But Jesus' apostles, they forewarn everything that is happening now. They told us in these last days there's going to be scoffers. We shouldn't be surprised. It's right here in Scripture. There are going to be people who stand against what we believe. Now, I guess it's not the fact that they stand against what we believe that really bothers me. It's the fact that they use the name of Jesus to do it. You have the Black Liberation. They use the name of Jesus to redeem them back to the state of social condition. You have the KKK. I don't personally know any, but they use the name of Jesus to purify the white race. Is this not appalling to you? But then the question is, what should be our response? Our response should be this. We should keep building up our lives in God. 2021 says, but you, dear friend, build yourself up in the most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourself in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternity. How do you do that? How do you build up your faith in God? We must rely on the Holy Spirit to build our faith in God. I'm telling you, if you think for a minute that you can do it on your own, you are sadly mistaken. And I'm telling you now, watching Joel Osteen on TV is not going to help it either. Now, let me clear myself on this. I love my brother Joel, but I think his message is off. His message is off. I love my children. When they do something wrong, I tell them. If I tell Joel, he probably won't listen anyway. So I'm just going to leave that one alone. But we build it by the Spirit. We build it in knowledge of Scripture. We have to learn what the Word of God says, and we have to follow the Word of God says. You know, there are many people when they come to Christ, they get excited, they're on fire, they're ready to go. And then they slowly start burning out. You know, I liken to use that to this analogy that when my wife and I first met, I was shrewd. I knew how to date her. You know, I knew the things to say and what to take. And then I figured out that, you know what, I love her, so I want to marry her. But the truth of the matter is, I was not so much in love with her as I was with the idea of being in love with her. And that is the same thing that happens when you first find Christ. It's not that you're so sold out for Christ and you're so much in love with Christ. It's just that you're in love with the idea of serving Christ until you put in a situation where you got to do something. You're like, oh, God, how could I do this? I messed up again. And it's true. It happens to all of us. We're just in love with that idea of serving Christ. And that's okay. But here's the key. It wasn't until after 11 years of marriage, of knowing my wife, getting to know her, becoming one with her, that I could say I truly love her and I truly understand her. It's the same thing with Scripture. Just because you say, Lord, I do, Lord. Just because you say, Lord, I believe your son. He saves you then and there, but you're not going to get to know him until you get in his word. You're not going to get to know him until you get among his people. You're not going to get to know him just by coming to church every Sunday and beating everybody out the door on your way out. I'm not saying that that's what happened here because actually I'm over at Inaugural all the time. But I'm telling you, it happens in every church in America. There are some people who come here to do their weekly duty to God. You have to get to know God. You have to build yourself up to God through the Spirit. The Spirit is going to direct you. The Spirit is going to direct you. We must grow in the love of God while we're on this earth. Some people think, you know, I love God, so I'm going to, you know, I'll come to church. I read my Bible every now and then. But we have to do the full gamut. Being saved is just the first part. Accepting Christ is the first part. Then we have to show God how much we love him by obeying him, by reading his word, by getting close to him. But listen, we can only do that while we're here on earth. When we get to heaven, we're going to be made perfect. If you guys haven't read the rest of the story, we're going to be made perfect. And all these questions that you have now that you've been writing down, you know, you might as well stop writing because you're not going to be able to take them with you anyway. And secondly, they're not going to matter because we're going to be sitting at the feet of Jesus. That's the only thing that's going to matter. But we have to do that while we're here on earth. And the only way we're going to do that is in prayer to our Father, learning Scripture through the Holy Spirit. You cannot do it on your own free will, and you cannot do it by watching TV. I mean, I know we laugh, but I'm telling you, there are some people who seriously, you know what, I go to church. I probably go more than you. I watch this show all the time. You know, touched by an angel don't count. And you laugh, but I'm telling you, I've talked to someone who told me that. But while we're on earth, we must perfect ourselves through the love of Christ. In other words, it's just like that old slogan. I hate to use it. I know Troy hate to hear it, but what would Jesus do? Not what would Jesus do, but it's just that, what is it that the Holy Spirit would have us to do? And to grow in the love of Christ until he returns. And then, you know what? We're in heaven. We're with the Holy Father. Now, this is the part that's somewhat hard, but it's necessary for us to do. That's verse 22-23. It says, "Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others show mercy, mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by the corrupt flesh." What does it mean to have mercy on a doubter? Does it mean that we take our Bible and beat them over the head and say, "Listen, can you get the message?" That's not what it means at all. What it means to have mercy on a doubter is to get to know that person, to spend time with that person, to love that person, show the love of Christ through that person. I went to Sunday school after the morning service, and I heard someone say, you know, we may be the only Christ that some people ever see. And that is so true. That is so true. But we're called here to have mercy on those who struggle in their belief. We're not called to beat them down. Someone who thinks differently than we do, we're not called to argue with them. We're not called to condemn them. We're called to love them. And through the power of God, grace in Jesus Christ, if we do his will, then his will shall be done. Not my will. I'm not going to keep beating someone down until they accept Jesus Christ. I cannot do that. Because what I'm going to do is push them further away. But if I love that person, and let God and the Holy Spirit work, then God will take care of the rest. See, sometimes we think that God called us to be successful, when in fact, he just called us to be faithful. And the success, he'll take care of. Here's another one that's a little harder. It says, have mercy on those with no belief. That's those who, they're not saved. You know, I've read commentaries where these two groups of people were compared to just Christians who have some doubt, and then there's this other ones are Christians who have fell by the way. But when I see snatch others from the fire and save them, this doesn't sound like a saved person to me. If you got to snatch someone from the fire, they're already doomed. But the most important part is it says to others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupt flesh. Now, again, this is another verse that people take and say, well, maybe I shouldn't witness to them because if I do, you know, the Bible says I should fear them. If I do, I might become like them. Where I'm here to tell you that if you're not stable in your belief, if you're not strong in what you believe in, you shouldn't be out there witnessing anyway. You should be getting mentored. You should be getting built up. You should be back at this phase that we were before I got to this point. But these are people who don't believe. These are people that we are to snatch from the fire, that we're to take the gospel to. So how do we take the gospel to them? We have to take it to them in love. I mean, they may call you all kind of names and say all kind of negative things to you, but you know what, though? That's okay. Blessed is he who is persecuted for my name's sake. When someone calls you a Bible thumper or a name that I can't mention here, you know what? You say, thank you, amen, and walk on. You've just been blessed. When I think of it that way, it just makes me want to just go out and tell everyone. Not to heap coals on their head, but to heap blessings on the Father. Because every blessing that I gain, guess what? I get to turn around and give it back to the Father. You should look at it like that. The blessings that we gain are for the Father. But also our response on having mercy to these people should be, we should try our very hardest to be at peace with these people. If you would turn to Romans, turn to Romans 12, 8 through 21. Romans 12, 18 through 21, I'm sorry. And says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So see, even if there is someone who hates me because of the color of my skin, I'm still called to love that person. Now, granted, I'm not going to be foolish. I'm to be as wise as a serpent. Right? What's the rest of it? There you go. So I'm not going to be foolish. But you know what? I'm going to love them. I've been listening to this nonsense all week. I've been listening to this, and I'm like, God, it doesn't matter where I turn. There's some nonsense about either the Black Panther Party, you know, and or this those guys who were standing in front of the voting pool. or President Obama. I listen to this nonsense and I'm saying to myself, why should I be surprised? Why should any of us be surprised? But you know what? We're to have mercy on them. We're to love them. You know what? To be totally honest with you, I love the, what is that guy called? I don't think that nobody knows it here, the Grand Dragon of the KKK. I love that guy. And I'm going to pray for him that he comes to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And that's the love that we're to show him. We're to pray for them that they come to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Because in the end, it matters. But it doesn't matter. Because justice will prevail. Not my justice, but God's justice. As it read here in Romans, vengeance is not mine, it is the Lord's. I'm just called to love. And then it goes on to say that we should mix our mercy with fear and hating. Hating even the clothing stained by corrupt flesh. Now this fear is not the type of fear that most of us will relate to, saying that, well, maybe we shouldn't talk to this person. This fear is fear for them. It's fear that they will be lost, that God will take their flesh. Matthew 10:28, it reads, you don't have to turn it, I'll read really loud. Matthew 10:28, it reads, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both the soul and body in hell. And that's God. Don't be afraid of any man or what any man can do to you, but be very afraid of God. We should be afraid of God for these people. We should not want anyone to experience hell. And you know what? It's not the burning that I don't want anyone to experience. It's not the torture and the pain that they're going to go through that I don't want anyone to experience. It's not the gnashing of the teeth. It's being out of the presence of the Lord. It's being away from the Father. You know, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. I can't figure that one out. Well, I'm here to tell you that if you think you're going to heaven, you better die to yourself right now. Because what we have does not belong to me. It's already paid for a price. I'm a slave to Christ. I belong to him. So fear no man, but hate evil. The evil that we are to hate is the corruption, the clothing that they put on. See, we're dressed in the Holy Spirit. We're dressed in salvation. But everyone else is clothed in unrighteousness. These are the things that we are to hate. And then the last point I want to make in this one is, do not fall in a trap trying to save someone from the fire. In other words, again, if you are not confident, if you're not a mature Christian, then don't try to walk into a Mormon church trying to convert someone. Don't do it. It's not going to work. Jude 24 through 25 reads, to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ, our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Our service to the Lord is for His glory. It's not for our glory. I don't do this to glorify me. I do this to glorify God. As a matter of fact, this is actually kind of terrifying. Not standing before you talking is terrifying, but it's bringing you the Word of God that's terrifying. Because Troy, again, he hit it right on the head in Sunday school. The people who teach and preach, we're held to a higher level. Which means that, you know what? I can't just get up on Sunday, open my Bible, and say, I'm going to preach this. It doesn't work that way. I have to be with my Father on a daily basis, in His Word on a daily basis. But we are called to glorify God. And it says that we're going to be presented. We're going to be presented before His glorious presence without fault and with great joy. We have been made righteous in Christ. We have already been made righteous in Christ. And it says, with great joy, we will be presented to the Father, faultless as the bride of Christ. That is what it's all about, giving ourselves up to become one as the bride of Christ, making that commitment as the bride of Christ. I love your Sunday school class. I just sit there and I'm like, man, this tells you how strong the Word of God is. It doesn't matter what chapter you go to, it says the same thing. It doesn't contradict itself. It just builds on top of itself. And then the bride, being you, me, and every other person who believes, will glorify the Father. We will glorify the Father because we will be righteous. We will be faultless. We will be perfect. And then it says, it's actually a doxology, but it's, may God be honored forever. That should be our prayer. May God be honored forever for the glory, majesty, power, and authority of God have, is, and will always prevail. That's the key. His all of these things, his glory, his majesty, power, and authority, it has, at the beginning of time, before the beginning of time, it is now, and it will always prevail. There is nothing that you can do to add any more to it, so don't try. It really isn't. Give the glory to God. But in closing, when I said that, I see everybody's head raise up. Some people wake up, but it's okay though. But in closing, I would like to challenge you to be willing to stand fast in the truth of God and not be led to the left or the right by every little nuance that comes along on the scene. You know, I'm sorry, but I just think about a piece of toast that I saw on eBay that they said had. No, I'm sorry. Every little nuance. A piece of toast. Every little nuance, a new thing that comes along. And do not measure a person by their financial gain or lack of, by their skin color, or by whether he or she believes. But try to see them through the eyes of Christ and love them in their present conditions with hope and prayer that they too will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, let us thank you so much for the work that your Son has done on the cross, Lord. God, there is no more that we can do. God, we just pray for those who are lost, Lord, and do not know you, do not know your Son as their Lord and Savior. But God, I just pray now, Lord, that why they still have the chance, why they still have the breath, that they do accept you. They do accept your Son as their Lord and Savior. And Lord, I pray this in the precious, precious name of Jesus. Amen.